It's so good to see you. Yeah, I just want to encourage us right now. If you guys could all just stand. Yeah, those of you who can. If you can't, that's okay too. But just begin to allow your hearts and your minds to just be cleared right now and be set upon the Lord. I was reading in 1 John, and I can't remember where it was that I was reading, but it was really beautiful how it talks about pressing into Jesus. Like, if you guys have the opportunity, do go in and just read 1 John. It's not very long, but it is very encouraging. It really does kind of melt your heart and let you know how much the Father really loves us. And so right now in this time of worship, I just encourage us just to kind of, if you've brought something in with you, let it go. Just lay it down at the altar and allow your heart to engage with His heart. Allow your head, your forehead to press against His. Don't let any distractions. If your phone is a distraction at this time, set it aside. If somebody you're sitting next to is a distraction, move chairs. And just really get, I know it seems really elementary and I don't mean to be. I just really, this is such an important thing, you guys. When we get to spend this time and like just really get to speak about what we feel about the Father and how, and get to hear what He feels about us. There's something so beautiful about that. And so I just encourage you, if you're having a hard time, I want you to do something that you wouldn't normally do that might feel a little bit out of your comfort zone. Kind of like David. When David really wanted to be before the Father, sometimes he'd just get what they called undignified. You know, he would just get beside himself and just do the things. And even his wife was embarrassed by him, because that's not how kings act, right? And so I don't want us to act a fool necessarily, but do be willing to do something that maybe feels a little uncomfortable, and just watch how the Lord meets you in this morning, okay? All right, so Jesus, we just invite you. And I thank you, Father, for being with us. We just say, come and do your thing today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. bit longer. Let's just sing this out, just the voices. Some people today. So I'm going to call out a couple things, and if that's you, I don't want you to be sheepish. I just want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. Feel like somebody in here has pain in your back, in your lower back, and you've been experiencing this for some time now. Feel like there's somebody in here that's been dealing with migraines, like consistent migraines. That there's something about arms, something in the arms. I don't know if it's joint pain or whatever, but I feel like there's somebody that's dealing with pain in the arms. If that's you, if you're one of three of those, can you just raise your hand if you're feeling any of those? Okay, keep your hand raised. And church, what I want you guys to do is let's get around these people, okay? And we're just going to go after this today. We're just going to pray for the healing of God to come upon these people. We got some people in the back.
Yes.
Just real briefly, ask them where their pain is and what their pain is about.
Yes, God.
And then I want you guys just to pray. We don't need a long backstory, because Jesus can heal any backstory. Okay, whether it's been for 20 years or for 20 minutes, Jesus can heal any backstory, amen? So right now, church, let's just begin praying out for the specific healing of God over these backs, over these arms, over these migraines, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Alignment. I want you guys, if you can, test it out. Do something that you couldn't do before. See, just if you can test it. If you felt, can I get a thumbs up if you felt any change, even if it's not completely yet, if you feel any change? Aileen, come on. From what was it at before? 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. Now it's a 5? Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Billy, did you feel anything? A little bit? Okay. Caden? Now to a 3? Come on. Okay, we're just going to keep praying. Let's pray one more time. Okay? Lay your hands on them. Let's go after it. Jesus, we thank you for your healing. We thank you, God, that you don't need the holiest person to use, God, but you use anybody, Lord.
Yes, thank you.
We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for the healing, God. We thank you for the healings in the arms, the healings in the backs, the healings in the mind, Lord, in the tension of the head, God. And we just ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would come upon your sons, come upon your daughters, Lord, and heal them and make them whole in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Come on, try it one more time. Move around. Come on. Come on.
Does it feel better, Evie?
Yeah, come on. Can we just give it up for the Lord, you guys? Can we just give it up for Jesus? Do you guys understand that there's a celebration in heaven that happens when we operate in this stuff? When we walk in His presence? When we just don't talk about the presence, but we actually activate the presence of God, right? If it didn't go from a 10 to a 1, just know that it's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray, Lord. And when you walk out of this place, I just am going to declare that you are healed. Amen? Come on, let's keep worshiping Jesus. But I just want you guys to continue to go after that. If you are experiencing anything in your body, maybe if you didn't feel like you could raise your hand today because you were scared or whatever, that's okay. Just know that Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to come into your life and He wants to make you whole. Right? Jesus isn't satisfied with a broken-hearted believer. He wants to make us whole. Right? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Peter 5:7, by casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Doesn't he? Amen. This morning I was reading my word and preparing for today, and I read a story that's quite long, so I'm not going to take the time to read that right now, but one statement stood out to me so strongly that I know that I'm going to be pondering it for days. And this is what was said. It was a gal that was so overwhelmed with life, so exhausted from the cares of the world, her world, that she just wanted to go and be with Jesus. She was just done. Have you ever been there? I know I have. I've been there. And she just wanted to be finished. And she was in her room and she had slammed the door. The kids had given it to her up to here and she was just done. And so she put her pillow over her face and she said, "I'm finished, Lord. I can't do this anymore." And all of a sudden everything went black. Now, whether or not she actually killed herself, I doubt that, but maybe she fell asleep or maybe she went into a dreamlike state. I don't know, but she was in heaven and she was standing before the Lord and she was holding this burden that she had. And my favorite scripture in all of the Bible is Matthew 11, 28 and 29, where it says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And she was carrying this huge yoke filled to the rim with bricks, heavy, heavy bricks. And it was so heavy, she didn't feel like she could carry it anymore. And the Lord said, "Can you give it to me?" And I'm just surmising, I'll read it to you someday. But as she took out brick after brick out of this yoke, you know, that's cross, because the lid opened up and she was able to give each one of these bricks. But the final brick, she did not want to give to Jesus. She gave the brick of home. She gave the brick of kids. She gave the brick of work. She gave the brick of burden. She gave the brick of everything in her life. But this last one, she did not want to give him because it was the brick of failure. It was the brick of depression. It was the brick of all of the things that she had said and done that was wrong. It was just the brick of the nastiness of her life. And she didn't feel like she could hand that to him. And he said, "Give it to me. Give it to me. Just let me have it." And this is what happened. He turned to the cross and hurled the brick into the pool of blood at its base. It hardly made a ripple. Do you understand? Let me just read that again. He hurled the brick of pride, selfishness, depression, torments, evil, all of this in one brick. He turned and he just hurled it at the cross, at the base, into the blood that he had shed. For me, for you, for her. And it hardly made a ripple. What we carry that we seem to feel is it's just too much to bear. It hardly makes a ripple into the blood of redemption, into the blood of Jesus, into the blood that gave us freedom, into the blood that broke the chains that bind. Yes. We've prayed this morning for the sick, but I want to pray again. This time, do you have, let's read that whole thing, pride, evil, dirt, selfishness, depression, torments. Do you have any of those things? Can you, with all the freedom, let the chain finally be broken, can you lift your hand and say, "That's me. I feel that way"? If you want prayer for that, let's pray for it. Let today be a done deal. Amen? So if anybody has any of those things that I just read out, depression, selfishness, pride, any of those things, just raise your hand. Come on, let's be honest. All right, people, we're going to go pray again. If you see a hand up, I want you guys to go. For those that don't have a hand up, just turn and look. You'll see it's all over the whole auditorium. There's so many hands, it's almost like more hands than people. Herman, Miriam, you guys go pray. Anybody that has your hand up, go pray. Amen? Go pray. Jesus. Father, we bring these sweet, loving hearts to you, Jesus. Father, we bring them to you, finally being able to say, I give it up to you, God. I throw it at your feet, God. I hand it to you so you can hurl it into the cross, the blood that you shed for me, Father. I can throw it down. I can give it up. I can no longer carry it anymore. Jesus, I thank you that I can do that. Jesus, I thank you that you throw it and my burden barely makes a ripple in the blood of Jesus. My burden is not as heavy as I think, but Lord, you validate me. Father, you make it to where I can walk in you and I can have every chain broken off of me, God. Father, I can do what you've called me to do. I can be who you've called me to be, Jesus. Father, I can now walk in a freedom that I've never been able to walk in before, God, because you're here and you're moving and you care and you know, Jesus, you know. And so I can rest right there in you, God. I can be who you've called me to be. I can do everything in Christ who gives me strength. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you care for me. You care for me, Jesus. You care. You care. I can cast everything on you because you care, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. Freedom of chains that bind me. Freedom, Lord God, I'm going to call out freedom of thoughts, negative thoughts. I'm praying for the mind of Christ. And there's people listening by Zoom. I'm praying for the mind of Christ for somebody that's listening or going to be listening on the internet. I pray for the mind of Christ for you, that you would no longer have it's distorted thoughts, distorted thinking. Father, that my thoughts would be only holy and thoughts of you, Jesus, of what you want me to think on. A clean slate. You've created in us, Lord God, a pure heart and a contrite spirit in us. A spirit, Lord God, that depends on you. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to greet one another, respecting those that want to continue to distance, but go and love on one another. We'll be right back.
Right. We're going to go ahead and take a moment and pray for Yakima, the place where we live, right? The Yakima Valley. And we've been praying and believing for the Lord to touch hearts and touch lives. And He's doing that. He's doing that here, and He's doing that all over the place. He's doing that with individuals who don't even know that He's touching them right now. So, Father, we thank You for what You're doing in Yakima. I'm going to just take a moment and just thank Him for all the miracles that are happening, all the miracles that we maybe don't even see right now, but we know that He's working in hearts and lives, and He's doing miracles. We thank You for those miracles, Lord, those miracles of salvation, those miracles of healing, Lord, those miracles of renewing hearts and minds, Lord, to the things of the kingdom of God. Lord, You're moving in schools, Lord, You're moving in businesses, Lord, You're moving in our city government, God, You're moving in all areas, Lord, of life here in Yakima, and we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, that You're bringing this place, Lord, to the way that You have designed it to be, Lord. This city of God, Lord, this place, Lord, where Your presence is meant to flow, Lord, like a river. And so we thank You for that. We thank You for all the years, Lord, of prayer, Lord, that has laid down the foundation for the revival and the move of God that will happen in these coming days. And we thank You, Lord, that You are our God, Lord, that we are calling You by name, Lord, and You have called us. You've chosen this city, Lord. We didn't choose You, Lord. You chose Yakima, Lord. So we receive and we acknowledge, God, that You're working here in this place in a mighty way, in this entire valley, in every area, Lord, of this valley, Lord. Your presence will be sensed and known in Jesus' name. Amen.
Check. Good morning, everybody. Do you have any happy people this Sunday morning? A few? Oh, that's always nice to hear. Nothing worse than a sad Christian. I'm just kidding. It's okay. You could feel what you need to feel. That's okay. Before we talk about the prayer night, as Pastor was praying about the city and revival and whatnot, something cool that we're doing today and tomorrow as a youth ministry, we're a part of a youth conference that's happening in our city. And I got approached about this youth conference last year by the youth pastor of Central Assembly, I believe it's called. I'm third. Yeah. And his name's Isaiah, and he approached me, and I was like, oh, you know, sure, maybe. And then over time, we began to pray and began to gather, and I realized, yes, this is something we need to be a part of, because we are all about uniting the Church of Yakima, right? Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but we are, as a church, we are not interested in making One Life Family Worship famous, right? Like, we want people to come, obviously, but we also, just as much as we want people to come here, we want people to go to the church down the road. Okay? Yeah. Meaning if they encounter Jesus somewhere else, we're okay with that. If they encounter Jesus here, great. And so we said yes to this, to partnering with this conference. And I don't know the exact number, but there's probably over 10 churches represented at this youth conference. And for those aren't familiar with church culture, that doesn't happen too often, especially in a city. It's one thing if like we're going to Seattle or Portland and, you know, a bunch of other churches are going to meet there. That's common. But for a conference to happen in your city and then a bunch of other churches say, yes, we're going to go to that, it's pretty uncommon because a lot of pastors are scared that, oh, what if they go and see the cool youth pastors from One Life and they go there, right? And it's true though. Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. So anyhow, I'm just excited about it. And it is a testimony, I think, to see how God is uniting our city, uniting our churches. And we're believing that if and when we continue to do this, we're going to see more churches attend things like this. So yeah, I'm excited about that. So be praying for that. If you guys think about it, pray for our youth. Pray for this conference. It's happening tonight and all day tomorrow. And just be believing with us that God is going to move in a mighty, mighty way. Because mind you, too, it's churches that are from different denominations. Okay, so we all believe Jesus, but how we approach him is where it gets a little bit muddy. And so... as long as everybody loves Jesus, that's right. So that's what we're doing. But we are going to be praying as a church February 26th. And so it's from, I can't read that. Oh my gosh.
It's six to eight.
My God. 6 to 8. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my eyes. 6 to 8 is our prayer night. We had a powerful all-night prayer last month, and we want to continue just going in that trajectory as a church is continuing to pray. And so if you have time, if you can make it, please make this a priority and just come and pray. Is it next Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. We're almost done with February. Next Saturday, please do it. And it's just a night of, you know, nothing crazy. It's not going to be super organized. It's just prayer. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to pray. That's what we're going to accomplish.
Just prayer? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Prayer is like, okay, sorry guys. Prayer is like the thing that we do, right? Like that's what activates heaven here on earth. So like, I want you guys to come with expectant hearts, not just prayer. I want you to come and pray your cute little hearts out. Okay. Because it is going to be a fun time where we might not be organized, but the Lord is, and he has things that he wants to have happen in our city and in our lives. And I just think that he wants to partner with us. So I would encourage you to strongly to make this a priority, including my youth ones. I love you so much. Come 6 to 8 and let's get our prayer on and watch healings happen and miracles burst out. And
do you guys know what would happen if we actually prayed with expectation? Like, if we actually prayed with expectation, right? I know we're not into our sermon yet, but still, I want, like, that's what Nancy's talking about, is, like, when we pray with expectation, we can expect Jesus to show up.
Okay? Actually, you guys, it's funny. This is fitting because I was in worship. The Lord's been stirring something in me for a while, but then in worship, it's like, boom, boom, boom. Like, three different scriptures had come to mind, and it was all on praying with... no doubt, absolutely no doubt, with every bit of confidence. Like in Mark 11:23, I have that one open right now. It says, listen to the truth I speak to you. Whoever says to this mountain with great faith and does not doubt, mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that that what he says will happen, it will be done. So this is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer, and be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. That's just Mark. Okay. Then we have, sorry guys. I mean, it's all over in the Bible.
We're still talking about waffles, by the way.
Oh, we do? Okay. That's all right. We'll get there. We'll get there, guys. Waffles are coming because that's important. James 1:6. I love James 1, all of James 1. But 1:6 says, I'm reading in the Passion Translation. Just make sure you ask, empowered by confident faith, without doubting, that you will receive. is not amazing? So I can just continue to go, guys, but he is just downloading one time after another. And I think that there's something super significant about that, because I don't want to be a sleepless prayer, a flippant prayer anymore. Like, yes, I think that it's okay for a little bit, but I think that we've stepped into something different, and God is activating us, and he's wanting us to have every bit of confidence in him, that when we ask him for something, he's going to give it to us. Wow. Because he's a good father, and our hearts, we are designed after him. We look just like him. We are created to do the things that he does in partnership with him, right? So it would be impossible for us to have a heart outside of his and him not want to, or for us to not be in tune with what he's doing and him to not want to attach himself to the things that we desire, because he gives us our dreams, right? He gives us those things that we want to see. And so to activate that and allow him and speak it with full boldness. So when you come on Saturday, when you come, not if you come, when you come on Saturday, I expect this to be bold and confident prayers. And come with things that feel impossible, you guys. I don't want it to just be meek prayers. I want us to go after those things that seem impossible, that will challenge our faith, and that will cause us to really believe, like, test, do we really believe what we say that we're doing is good? You know what I mean? Like, I want us to have that. Let's go after it, you guys. Time is short. And so it's the only thing that Eric always says, what is it that you say, that it's the one thing that we don't get a return on or anything? Like, it's,
yeah,
just...
this is recent revelation, and it's not like this huge revelation, but I'm just like, time is the most valuable commodity, if you will, that we have. And it's the one thing we spend so willy-nilly, right? We focus so much on, let's take FPU and let's get our financial estates in order and whatnot, which is great, and we should do that. But how do we actually look at our time and manage that, right? And that's the one thing that we literally will run out of. It could be next 30, 40 years. It could be the next 30, 40 minutes. We have no idea, right? But it's the one thing we all have in common, and we all, in some way or another, just spend freely like we have all the time in the world. So I'm going to talk about waffles real quick before you get too fiery. So next Sunday, we're going to have, really, like Aileen pointed out last week, it's going to be worship, the word, and then waffles. But
okay,
listen, Tara, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm telling you, I put there what I was told. And I think it looks better, waffle worship in the word. So we're leaving it. But no, you're going to have waffles after service. So this is just a fun thing that we're doing just to build connection. Come next Sunday, invite a friend, say, hey, come have a waffle with us, and we're going to hang out after service. And Zeke and Tara are going to do up a bunch of waffles. They did it for us for our Christmas party in December, and it was delicious. I love waffles. I had a waffle yesterday.
I love their waffles. These are not just your average waffle. This isn't like Ego My Lego. Wait, yeah?
Ego My
No.
Lego My Ego.
Lego My Ego. That's what it is. But it's this.
Shout
these
out.
Are like fat daddies. Like humongo, man. I mean, okay. These are going to fill. They are monster. They are going to fill you up and leave your spirit and your flesh feeling completely.
Here we go.
Blessed.
Revival. Okay.
Revival.
Is that it? Do we have another one? And thanks for giving. So you can give. We have our offering box here and in the back, and you can give online as well. Click on the give, and yes. So it's good. Trust God. That's what we're talking about. I love when Nancy gets fiery, okay? She's fiery. I'm going to tell a story about Nancy because it just came to my mind.
Yes.
She gets so fiery, and it's so fun. And when we were young leaders, okay, we were about 24 at the time, we thought, hey, we were junior high pastors here, and we thought, let's take our junior high students to Portland for a youth conference, right? Let's take them, okay? And we can do, you know, we had a van at the time. I'm like, you know, younger pastors might think like, no, I'm not doing that by myself. And I'm like, no, we could do this, right? We had no leaders. It was just Nancy and I, right? And so we took like 14, 15 kids. I don't even know. I'm pretty sure
we
pulled
the
seat out, which I'm pretty sure one kid was not in the seat. That's neither here nor there. And so we drove down to Portland for this conference. It was super fun. And I don't know if you know this, but it can get complicated ordering food for a bunch of teenagers, right? And I think because we were running low on time or something, I was like, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna expedite the process, and we're going to go through the drive-thru with 15 teenagers, preteens, some of them. Okay? Timmy was there. Katie was there. And I'm thinking this is going to be super easy. Like the way my mind works, like I have systems in place. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to go to the McDonald's, drive through. Everybody have what you want. Everybody's been in McDonald's, right? You kind of know what your order is by now, right? And so we get to the drive through and we get there and I'm like, all right, guys, have your orders ready. Right. And there's like rows of kids, right? And they're all, I mean, we've been in the car for 3 hours. Like, so I'm like, all right. And I get the one. Okay, what do you want? Cheeseburger and fries. Okay, can I get a cheeseburger and fries? And then I turn to the next one. No, what do you want? Are you paying attention? What do you want? Okay, hey, guys, I need you to be quiet. Okay, right? And I'm in the drive-thru, okay? Nancy. Okay, fiery Nancy. I'm trying to get everything situated. Nancy turns around. Everybody shut up! And these kids. And I got all their orders. Yeah, they were all traumatized, and but they realized in that moment that Nancy doesn't mess around, okay? And now that's on me. I know now that you do not take kids to the drive. You take them inside.
You can take them, but you better have those orders on a piece of paper ahead of time. And if they want to change their order, too bad. I'm sorry. It's on this piece of paper. This is what we're ordering. Love you. We'll talk about it later.
So she's very fiery. And so it's a funny story. Exactly. But it was fun. God moved. I don't know if all those kids are still saved today, but that's okay. We still love them. So we're talking about trust God. I shared a portion of this message on Monday and we had a great time. We're activating our kids, you guys, we're activating our students, to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And, we believe there's no junior Holy Spirit. We believe that God wants to move in my 4-year-old just as much as he wants to move in any of you. Right? There's no amount of schooling, amount of Bible that can get you any more prepared for the presence of God than you just stepping in his presence and saying yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so we activated our kids and we got them doing some prophetic stuff we're going to continue to do it. And so again, pray for our youth, because I believe that the days of just, you know, getting together and eating pizza, yeah, we'll still do that, but we're not content with just gathering on a Sunday or a Monday. We're going to continue to stretch our faith, mm-hmm. and it all circles around trusting God. You know, we're putting emphasis on prayer as a church, and I don't know how you truly pray without having this thing trust down. You know, somebody told me years ago that don't just pray hoping, pray believing.
That's right.
And that stuck with me, that little statement, because like, oh yeah, how many times do I just pray this list, this laundry list to God, right? And it's just this one-sided conversation and I'm just throwing up these things. God, pray for my finances, pray for my family, pray, you know, and so forth. And I actually don't wait and see what he's going to say back. Mm. Right. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a conversation like that on the phone, but they're not fun. Where you talk to somebody and they're just going, and you don't get it. You don't get a word in edgewise. Like you're just like, okay, like, and they're just going, and they're like, okay, awesome, thanks for talking, and then they hang up, and you're like, great. Well, I know how your life is going, you know. And I think sometimes, obviously, God is so gracious, and He's there for that. Like he'll sit there and he'll listen and he'll listen to the same thing we prayed about last week and the same thing, right? And he'll, and as we repeat ourselves again and again, he'll sit there and do that. Mm-hmm. But he also wants to talk to us and he wants to show us that he will come through for us. And this truth that I always say that it's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray. He wants to show us what that means in our life, but that, you know, that circles around trust. Like if we're not actually trusting the Lord, then how are we going to believe that when we pray, he's actually going to do something, right? And instead what happens subconsciously is we treat the Lord like, you know, a machine at in Vegas, where we're like, put my prayer coin in. Okay, I hope it happens. Did it happen? Mm. And we don't hit the jackpot. And we're like, okay, well, I guess I'll try again tomorrow, right? And we treat God like this machine that... That's not what he is. Like, he actually, it's impossible for him not to be moving in our lives. And just like we prayed today when we were praying for healing over bodies today, like, that's how he moves as well as there's people who have been dealing with infirmity for decades. And we're like, well, why don't they get healed? And again, the mystery of God, I don't know. But I continue to contend for, hey, he's still going to move. You have something?
Yes. What I don't want us to do, and sometimes we fall into, is the idea that we need to protect God. So we pray easy prayers, or we pray the simple ones, because then it's like, oh, well, I know he can do this. So we'll pray that with every bit of confidence. But if we want to pray for, say, somebody with cancer, that's a little bit more hard to believe, right? Because not many of us have seen him actually heal cancer. I have, because I had the blessing of being able to be on a lot of ministry trips and stuff, and it's amazing at what he does when you allow, you put yourself out there and begin to pray these things with authority and with the belief that he really can do these things and that he wants to, you know, and instead of trying to make excuses for why something doesn't happen, but just say, you know what, it's impossible for nothing to happen when I attach myself to the Lord and I press into him and I ask him for these things, because he says that he will. And so, and it might not look like the way that we want it to, but, and are we going to be okay with that? But ultimately, what I want us to get to is not feeling like we have to protect him. He's fully confident in the way he moves. He's fully confident in when he moves. He's fully confident in how he's going to do these things. We need to be confident that he knows what he's doing. And so praying, because it's not that we're these invalids or whatever that just kind of are there. Just, we are open vessels, but he purposed us to partner with him for a purpose. So when we attach ourselves to him and allow ourselves to work with him and link our arms, it's amazing at what things can happen from that. But we have to have confidence. That doesn't matter if we had this thing going on yesterday or last night. There's a time, like a couple weeks ago at the youth, I had to get up in full humility, bear myself before them and let them know that just before I got there, I almost didn't go that day because I had blown up at my kids and caused this like ripple in our house, and I failed miserably as a mom. And that was like not the proudest moment at all. Like I literally, like my daughter was shaken by it because of how upset I got. And that's something I haven't seen myself do in a very long time. But I had a choice in that moment. I could either choose to label myself as that thing and like, well, I lost my chance to work with the Lord now. I don't, you know, cause these kids, I don't deserve to talk to these kids and be upfront and give them a message if I can't get myself together. But that it wasn't the Lord speaking to me. The Lord gave me an opportunity. Now, you could either pick yourself up and go clean up your mess with your kids, because I was locked away in the room because I didn't want to do any more damage, or I could own my stuff, go out there, clean it up, and move forward and go into the youth night with full confidence that God can still move even though I'm a mess, even though I made a mess. And so it's not us. We get to partner. But he already has a plan to move. He just wants us to say yes to him. He just wants us to trust and know that he is going to do what he set out to do. Are we going to make excuses for him and pray meekly, or are we going to go at it with full confidence knowing, no, actually, I want the big stuff. I want to see what you can really do. Because when he left, he said, I'm leaving now. Jesus left now so that the Holy Spirit could come and that we could do greater things than Jesus did here on the earth. And I am still waiting for the day to see those greater things happen. You guys, come on. We are meant to do those greater things. And what better time than right now when there is so much chaos going on in the world and so much doubt and so much like uncertainty? We get to go out and be the people that bring certainty. We get to bring hope. We get to bring love and trust, knowing because we're consistent and constant with the Lord, knowing, okay, I'm trusting you, God. I don't know what this means, but I'm going to trust that you do. And so here it goes. Yeah.
That's good. We did, that's really good. We did a little bit of a trust exercise on Monday night. I had my son Caden come up and we did like a trust fall, right? Where so he turns his back to me, he puts his arms across and he fell back. And I caught him, right? I caught him, pushed him back up. I said, awesome. I said, now we're going to have one of our other students, Nate, come up. If you know Nate, right? Nate is like not that much bigger than Caden, pretty much the same size. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you trust that Nate's going to catch you? And he did not trust that Nate was going to catch him, right? And what was the difference? You know, I think the biggest difference was that Caden had trust in his father. He, right? Like, and when I asked Caden, well, why did you trust me? I was like, well, because you're stronger. You have strength, right? And so it's like there was a strength in me that he didn't see in Nate, that he was like, I will turn my back to you and I will fall as far as you need me to fall because I know you're not going to let me get hurt. And I was like, that's what a perfect picture of what it looks like when we lay it down before the Lord. And we don't pray just meek prayers, but we actually pray scary prayers. We actually pray for the thing that we want to see happen in our lives. We want to see the healing. We want to see the dream come to fruition. We want to see the relationship restored. And the list goes on and on. We want to see it, but that happens when we can come before the Lord with our authentic self, our authentic prayer, and fully trust Him, mm-hmm. right? So I want to read a verse. Are you controlling it? Okay, go ahead and go to that first verse. This is Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Come on, with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here's what I want us to get really good at, is to make sure that in our prayers, all of our heart is going into it. Okay? Not part of our heart. Right, there is importance on making these practices with all of our heart, and not. I get it. I get being busy, and I get having you're stretched multiple different ways, and you got to work, and you have family, and so forth. But if I could challenge you, church, that when you do these practices, when it's your Bible and your Word, is that you give God all of your heart, even if it's for 5 minutes, meaning you're not, I'm not going to sit here and read my word or listen to my word while I'm doing other stuff, right? I'm not going to give Him part of me. I'm not going to multitask while I'm doing this. I'm going to give Him all of me. Mm. Because once I can give all of my heart to Him, because He's giving all of His heart to me,
that's right.
Right? He's not multitasking. He's not like, oh, like, let me see what's happening with Eric. Okay, like, just keep one eye over there, and then I'm going to try to make sure Africa's good over here, and like, he's obviously omnipresent, like, he's everywhere. So he's giving all of himself to me. Mm. And so even if it's for 5 minutes, if I can just get 5 minutes where I'm not doing my phone's over here, if it means I have to wake up at 6 a.m. before everybody gets up, and I'm just 5 minutes where I'm dedicated to either praying or reading the word or both, right? Mm-hmm. And I can give them all of me. Like, how amazing would our testimony be from that, mm-hmm. right? Where I pray diligently and not with part of my heart, not with most of my heart, but with all of my heart. Right. I would love to begin to hear that, even come out of my own mouth, that with all of my heart, I was praying to see God move. Mm. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, guys, like, I would challenge you to do it in the first of your day as well. I'm starting to challenge myself in that too, because I've learned that there's always going to be more laundry. There's always going to be more dishes. There's always going to be more work to do. Your boss is always going to have another assignment. There's always going to be reason to not to. So giving Him the first fruits of the day and ending your day with Him and allowing yourself the time and giving good no's so that you can have good yeses. Yeah. So saying yes to reading your word first, so that and that might mean no to maybe a few minutes of scrolling on Facebook, which is hard. It's really hard because we trained ourselves real quickly to be okay with, this is relaxing. This is where our relaxation comes from and our ability to unplug. But do we ever really feel relaxed after? Or do we have more on our plate that we've just stacked that we're worried about? Whereas when we focus on this, it might not be as entertaining at first, but I guarantee you when you walk away from that, you're going to feel a lot more peace-filled and a lot more abundant than you did with this thing. You won't feel starved or hungry or anxious or apprehensive. You're going to feel calm. You're going to feel able. You're going to feel confident. You're going to feel the things that you're searching for, the thing that you want, the ability to be able to unplug and actually rest. And then everything that you do from there, you're going to be able to do from that place of rest in the Lord. And so that yoke isn't so heavy. It isn't, because now you've just laid down that burden of this. You're able to lay down that burden of that, this brick, that brick, that brick, in that moment with him. And he's like, oh, thank you for bringing me along in your day with you. What an amazing thing. And how much more can we accomplish in a day when we put him first?
That's good. I want to read this story. This is in 2 Kings 4. And it goes like this. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all of the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, what a crazy story. And I want you guys to envision yourself in this story. And I don't know about you guys, but when I envision a jar of oil, I actually, in my mind's eye, have this picture, like a jar of oil, right? So I'm not thinking it's a full jar of oil. I'm not thinking, I think she has a jar. There's a little bit of oil in it, right? And so we take that. He says, get jars. And he says, as many as you can. Don't ask for just a few. Right. Don't just ask a few of your neighbors. Say, do you have a jar? Say, go to that neighbor. Say, how many jars do you have in your house? I want them all. Right. And then go to the next neighbor and do the same thing. Right. So we don't get the number of how many jars, but you just envision just her living room filled with jars. Right. With a little bit of oil. And she pours and that one's full. And she pours and that one's full. She keeps doing it. Right. What would happen if we actually took what we had and presented it to the Lord, right? She said, I don't have anything. All I have is this, right? So she did have something. And some of us can feel that way. And we say, I don't have anything to give. And, you know, I'm tired, or I'm worn out, or I've been going after this thing, you know, forever. It feels like forever. And I don't have anything. And the Lord says, I want you to look again. What do you have? Okay, I have a little bit. Just have a little bit more to give. I have a jar of oil that's not even all the way full. Okay, take that jar, and I want you to begin pouring it out. And watch what I can do. Watch what I can do when you put your trust in me. Watch what happens when we take all these jars, right? Let's just throw a number out there. 50 jars, which might, I don't know, okay? But even still, that's a lot of jars, right? All these jars. And the great thing about God, you guys, and this is what I love, is that he's not a God that gives us just enough, but he's a God that's overflowing. He's not a God that's like, I'm just going to give you just enough to get you by, but you put your trust in me and I'm going to give you that and then some, right? And so I love this story, how it paints this picture of just trusting. Right, this lady might for a second thought, like, Elisha, you might be a little bit off your rocker, right? You want me to go bother my neighbors and ask them for the jars to fill with what? What are you, like, what are we doing here, right? And then I'm just filling in the holes here, right, because we don't get all of that. But I can just imagine, right, somebody who's in desperation say, no, give me an answer that's actually going to help me. That doesn't help me. You want me to go get more jars? I have a jar and it's not even full. What am I going to do with that? Right? And he says, go fill them up. Right? And she does. And with that trust, she does. And we see God perform a miracle. Guys, if we can just begin expecting the Lord to show up in our lives, what would happen? He might show up, right? He might actually show up when we pray, right? Do you have anything to add to that? What?
It's not a might.
It's not a might. Can you go to the next verse, Pastor? This is Mark. Oh, gosh, I'm not going to be able to read that. Mark 11. Yeah, Nancy read this today. I'm going to read it again. This is 11, 22, and 25. It says, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." I love how it says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Mm-hmm. You guys, I want you guys to take an assessment of your words when you pray. What if we prayed where we thanked the Lord for the thing before the thing happened? Like praying for Yakima, right? What if, as we're praying, yeah, that's a really great example. We're praying for Yakima, right? What if we went to, you know, the you know, most rundown part of Yakima, right? The part of Yakima that has the most, you know, homeless people walking around, or the most gang activity, or the most graffiti, or any of that, right? Or the most abandoned houses, right? What if we went and got to see with our physical eyes, and we began to declare, thank you Lord that you are healing our city. Thank you Lord that our city is healed. Thank you Lord that you're bringing strategy to our leaders to figure out how we can help these people. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing strategy to our police department and to other men that can be fathers to these people who are that decide they need to go into the gang life. Like, what if we begin praying? Like, thank you, Lord, that these people are set free, even though they're still in bondage, right? Like, I think it would just be a game changer, right? Do you have anything to add? I feel like I'm just talking.
No, you're doing good. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's really all I have. So,
well, the other thing too is there is a second part to this, which is if you hold anything against your brother, make sure that you forgive them first. That's super important, you guys. Even for myself, I've grown a little too comfortable in the grace side of things and forgetting that God is also just. And he really, there's umpteen verses on loving one another and loving the children of God, right? And that looks like making sure that we're not holding them captive in our thoughts, that we're not speaking ill of them, whether it be in front of them or away from them. And that's hard to do sometimes, especially when somebody really frustrates you and you just want to say it, but then it's like, okay. But training ourselves to catch those things and to then begin to ask for forgiveness. I've forgotten for a long time to ask for forgiveness. And the Lord has been dealing with me over these last couple of days in a big, bad way of like, you keep asking for these things, but you haven't done what I've asked you to do. You haven't released my son or my daughter from the frustration that they've caused you. And that's a real thing, you guys. Like, we are to take responsibility for how we're carrying ourselves in our walks and other people. If we see people who are in need and we have the ability yet we don't, that's sinning. Are we, even if it means just praying for them or offering a hand or something, you know what I mean? The Lord is very big on making sure that we are loving others. All this goes hand in hand. The trusting him, the loving the people around us and ourselves. We are to love them as we would love ourselves. How do we want to be loved? Because right now I could tell you a lot of us are not loving ourselves very well. If I were my best friend, I would be the worst kind of best friend. Because the way I speak about myself is awful. And my daughter can attest to that. She's constantly having to remind me, Mom, what are you saying? I don't like it when you talk about yourself that way. Because I feel inadequate a lot of times, especially as a homeschool mom, as a pastor's wife. Like I said, there's a lot of things in my life that I actually do feel high inadequacy over. But the Lord is like, I wouldn't have called you to this. I didn't call you to this because you were equipped, but because I want to equip you. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to let me? But that means taking responsibility. I'm holding you accountable because I still need you to love these people, even in their frustrating tendencies. Even when they don't say the nicest things to you, I don't expect you, like, love them as you would want to be loved. How would you want to have been spoken to or about when you left a room? And these are big things. So if you have things in your heart or people that don't have the ability to walk freely in your mind, I challenge you to go before the Lord and ask for forgiveness for those things. And just in that alone, the weight that's been lifted, that brick that's been taken out of my yoke, and how much more free and confident I'm able to walk because I'm taking responsibility for myself and for those around me that the Lord has asked me to carry or to be an example to. And that means even in my alone time, even in my thoughts, how am I thinking about my brothers and sisters that I know or don't know or that are in Christ or not? That's a big thing. That's a huge part of this as well, guys. If you guys want to be able to walk in confidence, trusting and believing, you've got to make sure that you're doing your best to be honest with yourselves about where you're at and with him and let him in on these things and ask for forgiveness. It's a big thing because the bait of Satan is real tempting. It's real easy to put out a little thing there, a little piece of cheese that says, oh yeah, no, they weren't very nice, were they? Oh man, babe, you know, I was at the store today and this jerk of a person, man, they ran their cart into me and didn't even say they're sorry. And I hate it when people do that. You know, it's easy as that, right? It doesn't feel like it would be that big a deal, but to the Lord it is because that's his son or daughter. How do we feel when people speak ill of our sons or daughters? I'll tell you, my mama bear is something nasty and fierce and a force to be reckoned with. So I can only imagine how God feels when we say anything in opposition of what he believes his children to be or act towards them in a way that he would not be. I don't like if kids, I train my kids to be polite and take their turns. And when kids don't take their turns on the playground, oh my dear Jesus, I have to rein in my mama bear because it's not on them, right? There's leadership that hasn't taken place and taught them. And sometimes I just want to be like, go ahead, hit them. I don't care. If I were to be honest, right? But in me, I have to be like, no, okay. Hey, babe. I don't know this person's name. Like, I just need you to remember, hey, this person wants to go too. Can we take our turn? And I talk with them the way that I would want somebody to talk to my child if my child was misbehaving. I don't want them to come at them screaming their heads off and rah, 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 which might have been deserved. But I'm not the judge, right? My job is not to be the judge. My job is to love as God has loved me first and as I would want to be loved and as I would want my children to be loved. Kids, children, youth, you guys are almost adults. Your friends are not friends at school. The people that you guys encounter, that whether they're nice to you or mean to you, how are you encountering them? How are you reacting to them or responding to them? People in your workplaces. And if you're not carrying it well, I challenge you to get before the Lord and begin to ask for forgiveness for those things and watch how much less anxiety you have, how much less depression you're feeling, how much less and more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more understanding. These things will begin because he gives us all these gifts in their fullness, but it's up to us on whether or not we're going to activate them. So, yeah.
So I want to do something real quick. We're going to wrap up. I believe there's not one person in here that doesn't hear the Lord. And so I want us to actually activate this trust thing right now. Okay. We can talk every week about trusting and faith and prayer and so forth. But if we're not actually doing anything with it, then, I don't know if that's a good model of a church that we would be wanting to do. And so right now, right at your seat, I just want you to close your eyes. Okay. Again, with this mindset that we hear God. Okay. And right now, the question I want you to ask the Lord, you just ask it to yourself, either in your heart, you can say it out loud if that helps, but I just want you to ask the Lord, Lord, give me one word that you think about me. And then just be quiet. All right, and if you got a word, I want you to raise your hand. If you got one word, okay. Would anybody of you be brave enough to tell me the word? Bob?
Beloved.
That's a good word. Anyone else?
I've never heard it before, but he said peacemaker.
Peacemaker. That's a good one. How many did you want to share?
I'm here, but I saw it.
Grateful.
Wow.
That's a good word. Anyone else? Caleb? Saved? Safe.
Safe.
That's a good word.
I want to just speak on something real fast. I love how you said, I didn't hear it, but I saw it. I want you guys to know that God speaks in different ways. It's not always audibly. It's not always, like, sometimes it's a knowing in here. Sometimes you see it. I wish I were a seer. I try really hard to keep going after that, but I haven't done it yet. But glory be to God, he's going to make it happen. And then sometimes it's a taste. Like, it's really interesting. He's done, yeah, there's sensing. It could be a smell. You guys, there are smells that come sometimes, and there's no reason for them. It just, okay, Lord, what are you doing? What does that mean? And allow him to speak to you in that, okay? Like, it's really fun. He's a fun God. And so I know I kind of got a little heavy earlier, but I want you guys to know that God is fun, and he loves to speak in fun ways. So the sheep know his voice. Herman, you knew his voice, and it wasn't through an audible or a sensing, but you got to see it, right? That's amazing.
Here's the practicality to that is that if you can just do that, by you don't need the church room, you don't need the prayer night, you don't need a pastor to be around you or anything like that. But if you could just get that part down where you're taking practice, you're practicing moments where you're hearing God, right? You would then know more truth than not. Okay. And here's the cool thing about that is that God, you know, God told Caleb, you are safe, right? So that means anytime anybody, whether it be yourself or somebody you don't know or a feeling you have, you get told you're an unsafe person, Caleb, that's actually a lie because it's counter to what God told you, right? How do we know what God thinks about us? Well, we ask him. And then anytime the enemy or anytime any person is comes against us with that, I was like, no, actually, I talked to God and God told me I'm safe. Mm-hmm. He told me I'm a peacemaker. He told me I'm grateful, I'm beloved, right? He told me I'm courageous, right? And that we then get to remind the enemy, I actually talk to a higher power than you. I actually know more than you do, right? I actually am not going to be identified with what you're trying to call me, but because I talked to God and he told me something different, right? So it's just a practical thing, right? But it comes down to trust, right? Because people could ask that question, well, how do I know that was not my voice, right?
Well, that's where faith comes in, and he gives us that shield of faith to catch those fiery darts, you guys. So if you're reading your word and you're trusting in the Lord, have faith, and faith is being able to lean into those things that haven't been seen yet, okay? But you know, he said that to me, have trust knowing, and carry that shield of faith and catch that arrow. Throw it back at the enemy. Just kidding.
So I'm going to pray and let you guys go on with your day. And I just, again, I want you guys to begin, like, putting these things into practice and actually, like, practice trusting the Lord. Like, you might think, like, ask yourself the question, like, have I actually been trusting the Lord? Right? Like, this is a challenge for this week. Like, go into your week in prayer and in all things and truly ask yourself, have I been trusting the Lord with my life, with my family, with my finances, with my job? Fill in the blank, right? So, Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you, Lord, that when you speak, God, we have the ability to hear or feel or sense or whatever, however you want to speak to us, God. Lord, that we don't get to put you in a box of how you're going to speak, Lord. Because if you want to speak through a donkey, you'll speak through a donkey, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are speaking to your children. And I just pray right now for a blessing over every person in this room, over every home represented here, every family represented here, every person, Lord, that will watch this or listen to this later, God. That you would begin speaking clearly to them right now, God. Even on the ride home today, Jesus, I pray that you would speak to your children, Lord. Those who are seeking answers from you, God, you would begin speaking to them. Those who are seeking for a revelation to come, Lord, for a certain decision or whatnot, you would begin speaking to them, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak identity to us, Lord. That you speak truth to us, Jesus. And I thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in this house, what you're doing in these people. And we just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. We love you guys. Have a good week. Don't forget about Saturday night prayer. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Yes.